You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Welcome to the show. This is the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, and I am your host. And today I have a fantastic host, an elite individual who is going to share with us today how he went from the stage, from being on America's Got Talent, to now helping the big name organizations connect with their employees and potential customers. I'd love to welcome to the show, Jonathan.
Hello there. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Welcome to the show. Tell the audience something that they may not know about you.
Let's see. One of my favorite details is that when I was 13 years old, I was taught how to juggle fire, which was a lot of fun and has come in handy at a lot of parties over the years.
13 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I just grew up around some really interesting people who recognized my interest in weird stuff, and the rest is history.
And that sparked your interest. That started the fire, I would say, right? For lack of better words.
Yeah, it was serendipitous for sure.
Because you have over 15 years as a world traveler and as a professional mentalist.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, the first paid gig I ever got was that summer. I learned to juggle fire when I was 13. So I got paid $200 to do walk around magic tricks at a company's summer picnic for their employees, and thought, wait a minute, I got paid $200 just to do some tricks? This is awesome. And then it just never slowed down from there, really.
First act, $200, and you thought to yourself, I can do more of this.
Yeah, it was great. I was just like, this is awesome. It's like just doing some card tricks and people pay me money. And I get paid to go to parties that people hope they're invited to. It's like, yeah, that's great way to do things.
Oh, yeah. Tell me, so your background is in psychology.
Kind of. My background is in performing magic and a specialty called mentalism, which is just like a magician that graduated to doing mind reading tricks. So it's all based on applied psychology and showmanship. I don't have a degree in psychology. And to that, it's always fun because for about 10 years, I've performed at colleges. And then college students that are about to graduate with a degree in psychology will wait in line as I'm signing autographs and then go, look, I'm about to graduate and I have no clue what in the world you just did. Am I wasting the last 4 years of my life? What is going on? I go, no. It's that I have a very narrow area of expertise that goes back tens of thousands of years to the first magician, right? Just the shaman archetype. Whereas modern day psychology hasn't really been around quite that long. So it's just that magicians and mentalists have had a huge head start in understanding human psychology, how people think about things, how people interact with fundamental base layer reality. So it's my experience as a mentalist, because every show is another data point. Every audience is another 300 data points. It's another 3,000 data points of understanding how people interact with the experience that I've designed for them. So every time that I'm on stage or in front of an audience some way is just another experiment in figuring out how people.
And you were on one of the biggest stages in America. You were on America's Got Talent. What did you learn from that?
To be patient. And and that no single thing will make or break your career. The thing you think will make your career won't. right? So I went out for it, and it's just a grueling filming schedule because you're there all day long getting kind of shown around where to go. Different production assistants go, okay, you're coming with me. And your freak out brain says, oh, it now's the time. Okay, here we go. And then you just get led to another waiting room with different lighting. And you just say, okay, all right. Okay, Mr. Pritchard, you're coming with us. Oh, now's the time. Okay. Oh, no, it's just another waiting room. Right? So you're just psyching yourself out over and over again. And it just gets exhausting. And then you get walked to the wings off stage and you go, oh, man, this is it. Then you get mic'd up and it's still another hour and a half until you walk out on stage. So by the time you walk out on stage, man, you're done for the day, right? So
you're exhausted.
Right. So learning to manage that kind of anxiety response is really important, and to just go with the flow, be present, but not let your mind run away with, oh, this is it. This is the big, oh, because then you're just going to wear yourself out and you won't be ready for the moment when it does come.
That's good advice. And you have to be, you're about to perform. Your top game has to be on, but you just spent like 6+ hours of going through from one room to the next. You are mentally exhausted at that point. And how do you perform? How do you find the mental capacity to perform and do a great job and actually be a contestant?
The human body is amazing at what it can do. And when that adrenaline hits for real, I don't care if you have a broken leg, you're gonna go out there and have a great time. There's kind of a well-known thing with all of my entertainer friends that are full-time professionals. We've all talked about times where we had the flu or we were just really bad off. And then please welcome to the stage, mind reader Jonathan Pritchard. And then your body gets that hit of adrenaline and then you're fine through the whole show. We call it stage health, right? So you just, when you're in the zone, man, there's nothing that'll hold you back. And then thank you. Good night. The curtains close and then you hawk up a lung, right? it's amazing how incredible your body is at performing when it needs to do what it needs to do.
It's almost like you get into fight or flight and you're alert, you're ready. It's like it's showtime. And
exactly.
This is make it or break it type of mentality just kicks into gear.
Yes, yes. And it just takes over and you're happy to be along for the ride. Yeah.
It's like burning the candlelight at the end. When you got a deadline to push, you got a deadline to do, you work tirelessly until you make that deadline, and then you're done. You're mentally poop, you're fatigued, you need a break, you need a vacation.
Exactly. And then you get a cold because you're so worn out. Yep.
Yeah, the body just registers. It's just fake, because almost like body follows the mind. It's a delayed response. Yes. that kicks in. Zig Ziglar says that people get the most work done right before vacation.
Exactly. Exactly.
So,
yeah, if you were that productive all the time, I don't think your mind could bear how accomplished you would be.
It's intense. You mentioned one thing won't make or break your career. What will? Can you elaborate on that? I really like that.
I haven't found it yet. I've been booed by 2,000 people before. It was just a catastrophic failure in front of an audience. And that story alone is like 45 minutes worth of slow motion train wreck. It's it's awful. Long story short, I got booed by 2,000 people and still got work from it. Somebody was in the audience and went, yeah, it'd be a good opportunity. Right. Mm-hmm. And I got booked on a 2-week tour in South Korea from it.
Wow.
So the worst performance of my life got me one of my favorite tours I've ever been on, which is really a mixed signal from the universe. Right. So you go out for this television show, you go out for the taping and everything, and then 3 seconds of it is used. And you go, that was weeks of my life. of going to multiple tapings, flying out to New York, being in front of the judges. This was supposed to be my big break. And then it's not. You wake up the next day. And what are you going to do today to move yourself forward? So even when you get those really large success landmarkers, right? Like I was on national television. I was on America's Got Talent. Wow. Well, tomorrow you're still going to have to wake up, feed yourself, pet the cat, right? It's in a way just another day. So being mindful of that feeling of, well, what's next, being totally normal, even when you have one of those pinnacle moments, can do a lot to helping people understand that they're not broken, right? Because you go, I was just on TV. I just did the thing. What's wrong with me? I'm right back where I was 2 days ago. Like, I don't understand. Everything was supposed to be different. It's not. It's just another day. It's just another day to make small choices that add up to the tapestry of your life.
The compound effect. So what I'm hearing is continue to show up, be persistent, and do your due diligence and show up, and that will pay off. It will add up and increase your chances.
Exactly. My high school debate teacher is the person that I heard the saying, showing up is 80% of success. So he's the guy that I heard say that. And over the years, I've updated it to 80% of success is showing up. 19% of success is continuing to show up. 1% is skill acquired over time.
Well put. I really relate to that because the hard work pays off. And being consistent, having a habit, rituals, principle, essentially.
Exactly. People think they will start working once they're perfect. And that will never happen. You only approximate perfection after you've worked at it for a decade. Right? Just day in, day out practice, churning out the absolute worst garbage you would be too ashamed to show your mom. That's the only way through. You cannot avoid that process. So the longer you hold off because you want it to be perfect, the farther behind you're going to fall from where you could be if you just churned out awful garbage today.
Right. It's easier to keep up than to catch up.
Exactly.
That's very good. And I think a lot of people don't take that to heart. Don't take it seriously. Like, you just got to start. You're not going to have all the answers. We're not going to have all the answers lined up for you. Steve Jobs says it's easier to connect the dots looking back than it is to connect the dots looking forward.
Right.
So just that mindset. Go ahead.
Yeah. I always like to think of it like, I'm in Chicago and I want to drive to New York. I can't see New York from Chicago, and it doesn't matter. I don't see New York until I've driven for 1,000+ miles.
Right.
All I need to do is to see the couple hundred yards ahead of me and focus on the process of driving to get to New York. But if I'm constantly looking at New York instead of where I'm driving, I'm going to wreck and crash and never get there. So being too focused on the outcome or the goal will prevent you from focusing on the process that you have to use that is required to create that outcome that you're wanting in the first place.
It's tricky because you're saying don't get overwhelmed by the big goals and look at the little steps. Take one step forward every day, one step towards your goal, and know that the ultimate goal is there, that to New York is the ultimate destination, but drive the first 20 feet.
Right. I mean, it's kind of like this. Everybody wants to get to New York in a single step. Like, okay, that would mean I need to get into a catapult and then get hurled from Chicago to New York. Well, that process might work, but boy, that landing sure is going to be abrupt, right? So the smoother, more effective method is kind of the slower process, the driving process. So everybody thinks that they're going to make it in one jump, and it doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. The smaller size you could manage, the better, right? Most people are walking through their day being totally oblivious to most of what they're doing all day long, and then wonder why they aren't achieving these big goals. Well, those big goals are full of small choices and small decisions that you're ignoring every day. There's no other way to do it, absolutely no other way to do it than to manage the daily details, because that's the only detail that you have, because you're alive only one moment at a time.
Yeah. Do you think that's the hindrance to why it's difficult for people to make change?
Absolutely. Most people aren't even where they are and they want to be somewhere else. Well, you haven't even figured out where you are yet, right? Like, literally, how often do you bump into stuff? Do you run into things? Are you forgetting your keys somewhere, right? It's all a function of you wishing you were somewhere else. And until you accept responsibility for where you are right now, you will never go anywhere else.
Acceptance and starting and being able to start where you are.
Exactly.
Identifying your location and start with what you have. We all have skills and talents, and just knowing how to tap into it. And that's a big portion of the show, is how do you find your God-given gift? How do you find your talent? How do you find your purpose so you can start living in it?
Right. Most people want more to do more, when they've done absolutely nothing with what they already have. Mm. And it's only until you could do the most with what you already have, only then will the universe give you more, because you figured out how to make the most of what you are right now.
There's a great quote, and it's biblical, but I also heard it. Jim Rohn says it: be faithful over the little, so you can be faithful over the many. Starting with what you have now, utilize what you have in place or in front of you. If you're faithful and diligent with it and disciplined with what you have now, then when you get more, you'll know to be disciplined with it. You'll know how to manage it. You'll know how to grow it.
Exactly. And in my world, I have a buddy that helps me remember that. He's kind of one of my consultants for when I get big opportunities and I'm trying to dream up these huge things that I could do. And then I go, oh, to pull that off, I'm going to need this, that, the other thing. I'm going to need to buy this. And he goes, hey, Jonathan, if the gig were tomorrow, how would you pull it off? I go, probably a lot of cardboard and duct tape. And he goes, okay, make it out of a lot of cardboard and duct tape. Or just use what you got, man. Use what's already on hand. Yeah. You already know what you need to know. Now go do something with it.
Yeah. And how have you helped major companies like State Farm Insurance, Wells Fargo, General Assembly? How have you helped them tap into this stuff we're talking about?
Well, earlier in the spring of last year, I talked with BP about how to think about new technologies. Rarely is progress or improvement a technical issue, right? The tech is way outside my area of expertise. What I'm really good at is helping people think about new things more effectively, right? So it's more about the mindset of accepting that these technologies are here, and instead of resisting them, frame them in context to what you already know, to give you enough familiarity to not be intimidated by it, to learn about a new technology for its own virtues, and then you'll start to understand how it could totally transform your business.
The mind works better that way. Learn by association. If you can pair it to something that you already know, if you can link it to an experience that you already have, it's a lot easier for you to remember and use it.
Exactly. Exactly. And a lot of people think, oh, this is very basic introductory stuff. If you don't know it, you're lost, right?
Yeah.
So everything goes back to basics. You want to do the fancy, fun, flip stuff, but you know, you got to learn to stand first, right? And if your standing isn't good, then your backflip sure probably isn't going to be great either, right? So
right.
Anytime that you're feeling stuck, it's probably because you're trying to get too fancy with it. Just go back to the basics, remind yourself of the basics, improve your basics, and then you'll start making progress again.
Baby steps and keep moving forward.
That's right.
You are actually doing martial arts. You've been doing martial arts for the past 7 years and on a daily basis. Kudos to you. What are some of the strategies? How have those strategies learned? How are they applicable to everyday life?
One of the biggest lessons is that doing martial arts isn't as difficult as making sure I do martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's the discipline. It's the daily discipline of adhering to that practice. And it's nothing that I think about. It's nothing I wish for. It's nothing I hope to do. It's nothing I dream of doing. It's a thing I do every day. That's the
just like breathing and eating. It's part of your routine.
Exactly. And that is the only way you improve skill over time, right? I say that the person who studies for a year will lose to the person who practices for a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No amount of reading, no amount of listening to motivational speakers, none of that will compare to 1 week of actually doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's easy when you're only talking to yourself or other people to believe things that aren't true. If you believe something that's not true in martial arts, you get hit in the face.
Yeah.
So you learn real fast that reality doesn't care. And the more attention you could pay to reality, then the more choices you have in actions you can take to address the situation. So I don't care how I feel about it. I don't care what my emotional state is. None of that will solve the problem of this guy is trying to punch me in the face, right? Mm-hmm. It's only concerned with the actions that I take, right?
To be better, to improve.
Yes, yes. So if you want to improve a skill, don't think about it. If you want to improve a skill, don't read more motivational books. If you want to improve a skill, don't talk to your friends about, you know, I'm thinking of improving this skill. I'm going to start. And they go, good for you. And you go, yeah, good for me. Don't do any of that. Just go do it. It's so simple. It is so incredibly just direct that everybody wants it to be something else, but it's not.
Like New Year's resolutions. You know, I'm going to wait till next year to lose that 5 pounds instead of acting now. You only have now. And that's essentially what we're talking about, our conversation. The moment right. is the present. This is your gift. This is your opportunity to right. act. And then tomorrow will bring you a different result. But if you're doing the same thing you did yesterday and expecting a different result, or you're going to wish you wake up tomorrow saying, you know, I'm going to feel better tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll take action. Tomorrow I will make this thing happen. It's not guaranteed.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because you are taking with you into tomorrow the same thoughts that you had yesterday. And the same thoughts you had yesterday got you nowhere.
Exactly. Because you thought about it, you wanted it. The motivational part of the decision-making process should last maybe a second. You know, I want to do this. Okay, what action can you take in the next 30 seconds that will move you one smidge closer to having done that thing? Like, that's it. Like, you just keep doing that, mm-hmm. and then you'll get it done before anybody else who's just thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Zig Ziglar says, motivation isn't forever. Just like taking a bath, you have to do it daily.
Right. Well, I oh man, motivation is an emotional state. If you predicate doing work on a transient emotional experience, you're holding success hostage to a chemical release in your body.
Mm-hmm.
What amazing thing has ever been done for that reason? But it just doesn't happen. Results are what achievement is, right? The results are a function of the strategies that you put into action. People think that motivation gets results, but it's actually results that get you motivated. So if you're waiting to feel a certain way in order to start doing a process that will get you a result, you're doing it exactly backwards. You just go do the thing long enough to get one result, and then you'll see that it works, and you won't need motivation once you understand that that process works. Most people make up for awful strategies with more motivation and then wonder why 5 years later they're exactly where they were.
And that's why you have the notion about motivation is not everything you need. It's actually acting. It's action. It's just do it, like Nike says.
Right, right. It's like, to me, motivation is almost a four-letter word because so many people think it's an essential ingredient to achieving what they want to achieve. And I don't mean to not have goals or to have aspirations or accomplishments you want to have under your belt. It's not that. What I'm pointing to is the belief that you need to feel a certain way in order to do your best work. That's not it.
What I'm hearing is if you get right to it, if you start doing it, then the feeling will follow. It's that delayed response again.
Right. The emotion is a response to the action. Mm-hmm. The emotion should never be the impetus to action.
Well put. It really is mind-boggling. It changes everything.
Yeah, that's it. That's music to my ears. That's one of my favorite things to hear. I've never thought of it like that. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you're hearing you need motivation, you need to be inspired, and you should listen to Motivations Daily. But you're saying the motivation lifespan is very short. It is seconds. And then you need to act. And then once you act, that it will proceed. It will bring more motivation. It's almost like thinking on a positive, thinking positively, and then it's going to attract more of that positivism into your life. You're saying motivation is results get you motivated.
Exactly. I mean, if you become a person who acts, like takes action, they'll plow through millions of people who wish they were more motivated. That's it. That's all it takes. Mm-hmm. Just that one shift is to just be a person that takes action the moment it's right. Do it. And then 2 years later, thousands of people are going to go, wow, how did you get so motivated? And then you'll just laugh to yourself and just feel bad because you'll remember, you know, I used to believe that that was what was important too. And then you feel bad for them. And then you'll share the gospel of just taking action.
And being disciplined and doing it daily.
Exactly. That being disciplined as a child is the worst thing that could happen because it's coming from the outside. Somebody is trying to discipline your behavior. Mm-hmm. If discipline comes from the inside, it will set you free.
Wow. Well put, Jonathan.
Thank you.
I love that. So tell us, what is it that you do on a daily basis? Because that's that innate, intrinsic discipline, intrinsic motivation that inspires you to take action, that inspires you to get up and be a coach, that inspires you to change the lives and work with the multitude of organizations that you work with. What is your daily routine that you practice?
Weirdly, it's nice to have those lofty ideals. But for me, it's that if I don't do this, my life gets awful real quick.
With the snap of a finger. I know.
Right. And it is so awful that I never want to experience how awful that is ever again. So it's not that I'm some saint that is perfect and that I have it all together. It's that I know that if I don't do this, everything falls apart.
Right.
So it's that you have to know what you're running from and know what you're running towards, not just have your head in the motivation clouds, right? So it's not intrinsic. It's a, I want to avoid this pain, so I know to do these things. Mm-hmm. And that is my daily morning ritual, which is I wake up and then my feet hit the floor. And I run through my kung fu forms. So I practice Wing Chun Kung Fu, and I go through a couple of the forms every morning. And it's a practice of building structure in my body. And the daily practice of building structure in my body builds a structure in my life. Yeah. So it's a fractal interference pattern of every level that you could evaluate my life amplified out from that daily practice. So then I do those postures, those forms. Then I go make coffee. And then my sweetie comes back from her long run. She always does in the mornings. So then she comes back from her daily run. And then we have coffee together. Then she gets ready to go to work. And then I sit down at the computer and start my day.
You have the privilege of working from home.
Oh, no, it's not a privilege. It's not a privilege because if you stop doing the things that get you those kinds of results, it stops happening, right?
Yeah.
So it's not that somebody's giving it to me and can revoke it. It is always within my control and authority to decide to continue doing those things or not that will result in me having control over my time or not. So there's no external force aside from physics that will guarantee that if I stop behaving in the right ways, then the situation changes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's not so much luck or privilege so much as the natural consequence of doing the right things with my time.
Yes, because that is your biggest asset, is your time and how you manage it. I'm like sitting here mind blown and just thinking about how I am learning from all this, the value that I'm getting from all this and how I need to continue to be on this path, because you are absolutely correct. That fear of going back to not having, not being healthy, being depressed, being anxious all the time is good enough to keep me on the path of where I'm at, where I have a healthy morning routine, where I have a healthy way of spending my time reading the right books. And
yeah,
I'm sitting here thinking, you are absolutely correct. That is a trigger. That is an emotional trigger. It's like, I don't want to go back where I came from.
Exactly. It's most people are unaware of how much they are hurting themselves with actions they're never conscious of.
Yeah.
And once you become aware of how much pain you're creating for yourself, you wake up to it and then realize, I don't want to keep doing it that way. And people from the outside will go, wow, you're so motivated. That's so incredible. And then it doesn't make sense to you when they put it that way. To you, it's just, I'm tired of hurting myself.
Right.
I'm tired of feeling miserable. I'm tired of hurting other people.
Tired of being unhappy and miserable and
exactly
angry all the time.
So it's kind of like going, I know that this food is going to make me feel the worst pain I've ever felt in my life.
Yeah.
Okay. No matter how much I liked it in the past, it's now a thing I choose not to eat.
Wow. Yeah. Same thing with alcohol. Same thing with just fast food, because you know, you have awareness, that knowledge, what your body needs to perform at its optimum. So you're conscious of how what you feed it. Same thing with your mental, your mind too, right?
Right.
I stopped watching TV.
Exactly.
For the simple fact that I wasn't getting anything resourceful out of it.
Exactly.
And so instead I read. And I'm like, ooh, I don't know if I should go watch a movie now. There's one coming out in theaters. I just don't want to relapse.
Right, right. Exactly. And to me, that's what mindfulness is the very difficult practice and discipline of becoming aware of all the choices you make every day and to make them with full intention from that point forward instead of just living life on autopilot.
Yeah. And unfortunately, a lot of people are on autopilot and don't even know where to begin to connect. So how do you tell your clients to connect?
Just stand there. It's really weird. Most people can't even just stand there. It's a beautifully efficient demonstration. I have them just stand there. I stand in front of them and then say, okay, without moving your feet, push me over. The person who could just stand there more fully will be the person that doesn't move. And in a couple of years, I've not had more than a handful of people who could do it because they're not even comfortable standing in their own skin. So once you're aware of how little you embody yourself, you then wake up to how disjointed you feel.
Wow.
And we'll just spend some time with you learning to re-inhabit your body, because none of this mind stuff is going to help until you live in your body again. You've been escaping to your mind. You've been escaping to your imagination. You've been letting everything else go because you're living in this fantasy world. And I'm here to knock you back into your body, back into reality, into the world of action. And from there, we could make meaningful changes.
Yeah. And it helps with sales, negotiation. How does this help organizations? Where do they begin after a session with you?
Right. It's to be more present with your client, with your employees, with anybody. Right. The one of the most powerful superpowers you can have is to be present with the other people in your life. So many people are distracted, looking at their phone, hoping that Twitter will tell them that somebody liked a message, right? All of that stuff, those are all distractions that keep you away from being right here. So when I'm right here with you, and I'm nowhere else in the world but exactly where I am, and you're flitting around in your mind or in your phone, like, who's more effective? Like, the person who's present. So you could be more effective in negotiations, in sales processes, in presentations, if you could be fully present and aware of what it is that you're doing.
Be here now.
Precisely. And for me, sometimes the fastest way to make that happen is to have somebody trying to punch me in the face. And preferably somebody that loves me a lot and I trust a lot doing it.
Yeah, that notion is it's challenging, especially with social media, with a short attention span, and the need for organization, the request for you to multitask and do several things all at once, because there's more work than there are humans.
Yes. So to me, success is having absolute control over my time, who I spend it with, and where I spend it.
That is a universal request. And I love that. And I think that's everyone's goal. But a lot of us don't know how to achieve it, how to go attain it, how to go after it.
It's not an attainment. It's not an achievement. It's nothing that's out there that you need to hold on to and grasp at.
There's my puppy.
No worries. It's solely a function of your decision-making and how you spend your time and energy. The results you get or don't get are solely predicated on the quality of the strategies that you're employing and your skills at executing them.
And is that universal or does it vary for every person?
No, that is ironclad. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because again, it's not a function of hoping, wishing, and praying. It's a function of what strategies are you using to put your resources into play? And what are your skills at doing that? If you're not used to thinking like that, you're going to default into, boy, I wish it was out there. I wish I could find it. I wish I could find that piece that's missing, right? That's still believing that your life is beyond your control. That's still the belief that somebody else has your secret hidden from you. It's only you. You're it. You are in control of your actions.
It's very empowering. And I can see how that would work in a negotiation and also in a sales situation.
It's incredibly empowering once you accept it. The longer you deny it, the more terrifying it gets, because you hate yourself for how much power you've given up over the years.
Wow.
And it's a terrible, terrible realization that you've allowed yourself to be guided by a thing that doesn't even exist out there when it has been under your control from day one, and that nobody taught that to you. Nobody showed that to you. Nobody showed you how. And you realize just how much of how awful your life is the direct result of the choices you've made.
Good or bad, it's your fault. Your life, the results that you're getting is your fault.
Precisely. And that is such a terrible realization that most people will never accept it.
Mm-hmm. There's a good quote I read the other day. It says, the most common way people give up their power is by thinking they don't have any.
Exactly. There's a woman who would surprise you at how powerful she is that I've been working with over the past couple of years. And she has accepted her power and she knows how to use it. And it is incredible to be on the receiving end of that, and to see the amazing things that she can do now that she's reaccepted her place in the universe.
Powerful stuff, Jonathan. Powerful stuff. We didn't even talk about your book yet.
Well, if you want more mind-bending stuff, then yes, my books would be the best place to start. So if the mindset appeals to you, then go to Amazon and do a search for Think Like a Mind Reader. And that is my book on psychology, logic, thinking, debate, all the kind of mental things a capable human should know. Right. So that's it. And it's packed full of adventures from the road and lessons learned from the stage. If the martial arts angle appeals to you, then you can go to Amazon and search for Wing Chun Life Physics. And that's bird, like a bird wing, and C-H-U-N, Wing Chun Life Physics. So that's the book that I wrote about martial arts principles that echo through the rest of your life.
And a website for you that we can connect with you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So on Twitter, I'm the_Pritchard, which is very difficult to spell. P-R-I-T-C-H-A-R-D. Website is, if you would like to have a group of incredible thinkers, kind of a mastermind group of mind readers who understand who have actually mastered the mind, then go to mindreaderuniversity.com. So that's kind of my closed mastermind group, where I share all these kinds of fun secrets and kind of help people out and coach them with mindset training. So if that's your speed, then I would love to see you there.
Jonathan, thank you so much. Morning enthusiasts, you've heard it here first. This was a powerful episode. My head is still spinning.
Well, thank you so much for allowing me to share my thoughts and connect with your audience and you out there in podcast land. Thank you so much for listening. And I genuinely hope to hear from you.
Talk to you soon. Thank you so much, Jonathan.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.